welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right. Well, again, good morning and welcome. Praise God. Boy, it's just so good to get together on purpose in the name of Jesus and lift up Jesus. There's just something about that, you know. We each get our own visual on the inside of what that looks like as we're just getting into his presence. But wow, it's just such an amazing blessing to just experience his love and his joy and was that Peter who said, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And to just perceive that when you just begin to worship him. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started in the book of Galatians this morning. This is the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatian region. Galatian, you think of Galatia, think of like Door County. It's got all these little cities and towns in it, Lystra, Derbe, and Iconium, all that, kind of like Egg Harbor, Fish Creek or Sister Bay. So it's kind of a region when he's writing to the book of writing to the Galatians. And so he's got a specific a great message, this book of Galatians. You see that he really brings everything back to grace, but he really brings out something that is so powerful for us, and I really want to look at it this morning. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So he's saying, you know, you got this thing, you got the Spirit, you got the flesh. The flesh wants to do one thing, the Spirit wants to do another thing, and they're contrary. Now that word lusts, it just means strong desire. It can be used in a sexual connotation, but it can be used in positive connotations too. It just means a really strong desire. In other words, he's saying the Spirit of God in you has strong desires against your flesh, and your flesh has strong desires against spiritual stuff. And you've probably noticed that about yourself. You know, whether you're in the flesh or in the Spirit, there's that war. He says, so that you cannot do the things that you wish. There's two you's in there. The you that would yield to the flesh or the you that would yield to the Spirit. And so he goes on to say, by helping us out a little bit, when he's saying flesh, what do you mean by flesh? So he kind of helps us out and he says, okay, now the works of the flesh are evident. So he's going to bullet point them. Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I've told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the Apostle Paul is saying, look, you got this war going on, you know, between your flesh and your spirit. And when you yield to the flesh, it looks like this. When you could put it this way. When you're not walking in the Spirit, it looks like that. That's the attributes. That's the characteristics of what the flesh looks like. Now, what I've done here is I've taken that list and I've kind of strung it out into a big, long, sequential list in that order. And it looks like this. So I've got a top tier, a middle tier, and a bottom tier. All right? So on the top tier, you've got adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. The middle tier, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders. The bottom tier, drunkenness and revelries. Okay? Now, the reason why I broke that out and broke that list out is because a lot of times we almost think of all these adjectives in those kind of groupings. In fact, here's another, I'm going to read another passage of Scripture where the Apostle Paul kind of says the same things, only in a summarized manner. He says it this way. This is Romans. He says, and do this, knowing that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. That's true. You are closer to Jesus every day in his presence. the night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, let's put on the armor of light, and then look at this. He says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, that's kind of the bottom tier, not in lewdness and lust, that's kind of the top tier, and not in strife and envy, which would be the middle tier. All right? So you kind of see this almost categorization of the flesh. All right? And a lot of times when we think about the flesh, we more tend to think about it in terms of that top and that bottom tier. I mean, you could probably pull murders down there in terms of what's acknowledged, TV, things like that, obviously. But murder, I'm keeping it in the middle tier because of what Jesus said. He said, you know, if in your heart, you know, you cross that line of, you know, calling your brother a fool or things like that, we got to recognize that murder isn't just the physical act. Most people wouldn't engage in that. But a lot of us can cross lines in our heart, in the inside, where you're thinking evil about your brother. And according to Jesus, that's that work of the flesh, murder. It's that intent to want to do harm to somebody. Again, whether you physically do it or not. And so I've got that one in the middle tier there. But you'll see that when we're looking at the kind of the top and the bottom tier, I just want to take some time this morning and really focus on what I'm simply calling the middle flesh. All right? We're gonna look at that middle tier this morning. And I'm simply calling it an expose on the middle flesh. Because a lot of times when we're living for God, we typically focus on the other stuff. I'm just going to keep going forward here. First of all, what does it look like? The middle flesh, and you can kind of see by looking at it, the face of the middle flesh is conflict, all right? And I'm going to build a case here a little bit. Before we kind of go into it, I want to quickly revisit what we would call maybe the top and bottom tiers, or what I'm calling the classic flesh. This is the stuff you just think about when somebody's in the flesh. Adultery, we'll just kind of go through with a little description. Adultery, sexual promiscuity related to marriage, real or imagined. Again, there Jesus said, you don't have to physically engage in something to be guilty of the heart. You know, so it's you're yielding to things along those lines. Fornication, that's just any sexual promiscuity. Uncleanness, that's just sexual impurity, impurity, nudity, promiscuity, medias, things like that. Have you ever watched something and felt like you had to take a bath after you got done watching it? Just like, ugh, the spirit of it and all that. Just there's things that are unclean that are influences that try to get on us. There's lewdness. That's just sexual perversion. That's just where, you know, you're just kind of going all over the place to try to keep stimulating a new high sexually. Idolatry, natural or created objects worshipped as deity, that can be covetous, greed, food. You know, that's where a lot of times we think of idolatry. We see the guy, you know, worshipping a rock, and we kind of think, we're so far above that. And the next thing we're going, hey, where's my phone? Oh, gee whiz, I can't live without my phone. Can you imagine worshipping an inanimate object? But we can do it. We've just got our own ways of doing that, okay? And it can be money. See, money's tangible. As long as I've got X number of dollars, I've got control. I'm going for something tangible. Food can give me a physical comfort, greed. And so idolatry is something that just takes the place of God for our all in all, for our peace, for our hope, for our... It's something that we're worshiping. We're putting in place of God. Sorcery is pharmakeia, technically in the Greek, which means drug. Drug-related, drug addiction stuff. Drunkenness, obviously, it's an intoxication. And then revelries is drinking parties. You know, the scripture doesn't forbid the drinking of alcohol, but it's that line of drunkenness where you lose control. That's where you're vulnerable. That's a work of the flesh. Revelries, drinking parties, obviously, when people go and engage in all that kind of stuff. And so this is kind of what we look at in terms of what we'd call the classic flesh, the top and bottom tiers. This is the kind of stuff that when I'm trying to live for God, I'm really trying to stay away from this stuff. All right, this is my checklist. This is my checklist to want to be really spiritual. And it's a good checklist to want to be really spiritual. Praise God. I want to live free from this stuff. But as you begin to look at the middle tier, what we'll call the middle flesh, is... you'll see that there's conflict is really the voice of the middle flesh. Hatred, which is an intense dislike. contentions. It's contesting or quarreling, just constantly trying to find a way to angle, to fight and to quarrel. Jealousies, fear of losing someone you love. Outbursts of wrath, it's just a display of extreme anger. I mean, I know a lot of these are self-evident, but we're just going to go through them here. Selfish ambitions, consumed with one's own interests, benefits, and welfare. You just got blinders, all you can see is you, and you're just living for self. Dissensions, which is a disagreement that leads to discord. In other words, it's not just that we disagree or that we're angry, but something's about to come apart. You know, whether it's a relationship, a friendship, a church, a lot of things are a result of that work of the flesh called dissensions, a disagreement that leads to discord. Heresies is a sect or party spirit. A lot of times this is talking about where you get into a, it's used a lot of times in a political realm. It literally means party spirit. And so you can have this error where you've just got this little group, this little sect that is critical, judgmental, you got it, nobody else has it, and it's not just a matter of truth and error. It's a work of the flesh where it's ugly and gross and pride and arrogance. And that's where you got this, what's called heresies or sect or a party spirit. Envy is just wanting what somebody else has. Murder is obviously taking the life of another person, real or imagined, okay? And so this middle flesh, as we're looking at it, is really that middle ground between what we would call the classic flesh, all right? Now, I just wanted to kind of go through that little exercise just so we all kind of know we're all basically on the same page of what we're talking about. And by the way, you know, if you don't go out here and talk to somebody about the middle flesh, they'll have no idea what you're talking about, all right? That's a Pastor Ed quirk. I just made that up, so it's not a theological thing by any means. So I'm just trying to identify something so that we can get our hands around it so that we can address it and we can deal with it, all right? Because a lot of times, this middle flesh stuff, we actually use the classic flesh to medicate the middle flesh, all right? You kind of deal with this stuff, which is basically, you know, relationship issues. It's conflict stuff. You know, somebody has done something to somebody, and there's offense, and there's hurt, and this is what you get in the middle flesh. It's connected to people, all right? And there's stuff, there's conflicts, there's issue, there's problems, but this is how it will come across, and it'll register as flesh. And so this morning, what I'm calling, you know, the middle flesh an expose is I just really want to take time and to deal with this area called the middle flesh and to be able to identify it as such so that we don't, we don't mistakenly give things a pass. A lot of times, and again, let me just kind of go back to the kind of the idea, as long as I'm doing this, like if walking in the Spirit just means I'm not doing that, and that's what I think is walking in the Spirit, but I am allowing this stuff to live in my heart, in my mind, you will very subtly be living in a very frustrated place with God. In other words, if this is the finish line that I'm just not doing that stuff, then your walk with the Lord will stall out until you deal with this stuff right here, the middle flesh. This is a big deal. This is why spiritual people can deal with and battle depression from time to time. Because this stuff gets a pass. This stuff is not recognized as flesh. This represents our problems with people that we're trying to solve. And this morning, we're going to see some things in a different light. We're going to call a spade a spade. We're going to call flesh flesh. We're going to call hatred hatred. Contentions contentions. A work of the flesh, right alongside the other stuff. So if you are a angry Christian who's sexually pure, financially responsible, you need to crawl up on the wagon right alongside the alcoholic and everybody else and say, okay, I'm going to deal with some things. I'm going to deal with some things in my heart. There's middle flesh stuff going on here. Why is this important? This is why it's important. And it kind of goes back to what we're, this is big picture, what we've been doing, getting, you know, talking about for the last several months. Jesus answered and said to him, "The first of all the commandments is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.'" This is the first commandment. This is the first commandment. It is. And here's the problem. When you get serious about loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, you realize that there's parts of your soul and your heart, parts of the real estate of your soul and your mind and your heart that's full of this stuff. And if I'm going to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I'm going to have to confront some of this stuff. We don't like to confront this stuff. We like to run to this stuff. All right? And we think that as long as I'm, you know, not doing this stuff, and this is where spiritual people can deal with depression, because they're not doing this stuff, and they don't want to have to confront this stuff, and so it kind of stays in there, and how do you deal with it? Man, that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at some different things about the middle flesh. But the first thing that I just wanted to do is I just wanted to identify it, okay? And so as we're looking at it this morning, think of it like this, and this is the way I kind of like to think of it, looking at some of these things, issues, situations, relationship issues, things like that in your heart, as you just take a quick little inventory of your soul, begin to decide. And I like to think of it as a game of Monopoly, okay? You know how you look at a board and you're playing somebody in Monopoly, you got your properties, they have their properties, your goal is to get all the properties. When you play Monopoly, you realize all the properties are precious and special. As you're loving the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, see a Monopoly board. Your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. I'm talking about really loving the Lord with all your heart. Stuff you may have sat on for 20 years, you're not sitting on it anymore. Because you're recognizing something about it. It's been given a pass. It's flesh. And it's like, Lord, no, I'm going to deal with some things. I'm going to deal with some things in my heart. I'm going to deal with some things in my soul that don't belong there. I'm going to get free from some of these things. I'm going to get free from some of these issues. And you will begin to find yourself, man, thinking, okay, Lord, here we go. I mean, there's parts of you, if you think of that Monopoly board in your soul, there's parts of your life where God has control. You've given God, there's God ownership of that piece of property. There's other properties that, wow, I haven't even looked that direction in 5 years. I don't want to look that direction in 5 years. Because there's some things that are just, I don't want to deal with, I don't want to have to mess with. But when you begin to deal with that middle flesh, it's like, nope, we're dealing with it. We're not running away from it anymore. Everything is going into the hands of Jesus. I'm not going to figure out how to get by with just not doing the classic stuff, but living on top of this stuff. This stuff is going too. It's all going. Why? Because I'm going to love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. This is wholeheartedness we're talking about. And addressing those things in terms of wholeheartedness. Now, as we do that, we're going to figure out how to do this. And I'm just believing this morning that there's going to be some light bulbs turning on. I'm believing this morning that you're going to see some stuff that is going to absolutely just open your eyes to some things. And again, what it has to do with is just calling the flesh, flesh. Not giving flesh a pass. So we kind of looked at what flesh looks like, all right? Now we're going to look at what the middle flesh looks like, but now we're going to look at what it sounds like, all right? The sound of middle flesh, accusation is the voice of middle flesh. It's that people stuff, it's that people relationship things that, you know, that get you stirred up. So here's the description in Revelation. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives unto death.'" What do we see about Satan? He's the accuser of the brethren. The fuel for the middle flesh is accusation. If you're going to keep middle flesh alive, somebody is accusing somebody about something. All right? That's just That's the fuel for it. James warns us, who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, that's middle flesh stuff. Do not boast and lie against the truth. That wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. That's interesting how middle flesh could be confused with God's wisdom. Real spiritual people are going to come to some real amazing revelations. And I'm starting with me. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. He's talking about that middle flesh stuff. Now, this is what I really want you to hear this morning. I kind of sang all that stuff to say this. You got to know what middle flesh is. You got to know how it stacks up against the classic stuff. Know how we kind of use the classic stuff, maybe to medicate that stuff. But the biggest thing in getting free from the middle flesh is recognizing the voice of it. So when I, you know, because if, let's just say classic flesh. If I want some drugs, I want my drugs. I want to shoot up. If it's sexual thing, I want to see something. I want a bad relationship. I want to go after something. That's going to be, if it's alcohol, I want my drugs. I want a drink. I want my thing, okay? I want my fix. That's what you think of when you think of classic flesh wanting its fix. The middle flesh wants its fix too. And listen to me here. I know we don't, you know, when you look at this stuff, you know, we're not consciously, you know, walking down the street and thinking, man, I really want a good outburst of wrath right now. Oh. I'd like three of them, actually, if I could. Just, oh. There's some good hate, you know, just, oh, you know, just not like a good little bit of... You don't consciously think of that. And yet they are just as much works of the flesh as the sex stuff and the drug stuff, the money stuff. They're right there. They're just as addictive. The voice of the middle flesh is accusation. In other words, you don't start out wanting a hate fix. You start out thinking about something that somebody did or a random thought. And it leads you down to a path to where you're hating or you're contentious or you're jealous or your outburst of wrath. This is the stuff that'll make you feel demon-possessed when you yield to this stuff. And when it gets in, we all have yielded to this stuff. It gets in. It digs in your soul. This stuff, it's like somebody taking a shovel and digging into your soul. This is why we need to love the Lord with all our soul. And this is why he wants to be in there. He wants to be in the soul place. And when I begin to realize that, hey, you know, if I had a thought to do something sexually perverse or a thought to do something, you know, with drugs or alcohol, I'd recognize that, oh, that's a work of the flesh, and I'm not supposed to do that. But you know, you have thoughts that the enemy throws at you. And here's the subtle deceptiveness of the enemy. He'll make you think you got problems you don't have just to try to stir up your flesh. Man, I've been fighting this thing over and over. Why can't I get free from it? Well, really, you got a hatred addiction and you're feeding it. You know, I've had that. I've come where I've had things going pretty well. And I felt restless. I had nothing to point to. And I'm just, no, I'm going to turn on the TV and watch some news and get something there, you know, get stirred up there. When you begin to see some things in the light of flesh and treat it as flesh, no, that's just my problem that I'm trying to overcome. There's flesh there, and it needs to die. You can have two people have the same problem, have the same offense, the same circumstance, and one's burned up with hatred, and the other one has the peace that passes their understanding. One is tore up with flesh, and the other's free from it. You know, you can have problems without having the works of the flesh. This is where God becomes our medicine. It's not just spiritual people not doing the classic stuff. It's spiritual people bringing God's medicine on the middle flesh stuff and getting wholehearted victory in your whole life. Traction. Praise God. No more stalling out. There is nothing in that list that isn't flesh. There is nothing in that list that walking in the Spirit can't beat. But we just have to begin to recognize flesh is flesh. You know, I love this proverb. It says, Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Look where you're going. Let all your ways be established. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. He's talking about a straight walk. And he's talking about pondering the path of your feet. In other words, consider where you're going. And that's really what begins to happen when we recognize the voice of the middle flesh is accusation. You know, there's been a very strong movement in recent years as it relates to just awareness of things that we're eating. You know, we've seen the food industry do some things to increase their production, but in some cases it's caused harm to us consumers. So at some point we decided to actually stop and read the label. That same inflection point is very similar to getting victory over the flesh. You know, the scripture says, ponder the path of your feet. Where is this thought going? Where is it going? The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Why is that every thought thing so there? Because the classic every thoughts I deal with, but the middle flesh every thoughts I don't always take into captivity. And what are we doing here? I'm pondering the path of my feet. I'm looking out ahead. I'm saying, what's the trajectory of this thought? And in the same way we started to read the content label on our food, God tells us to read the content label on our thoughts. Because in the same way they put junk in food, Satan puts junk in thoughts that you can't process, that you'll be on a merry-go-round forever because they're not digestible in those thoughts. And so as you begin to think of that thought, oh, there's that old familiar thought, just wait, you know, don't run off yet. In other words, ponder the path of your feet. Before you eat that thought, before you meditate on it and dwell on it and saturate your soul with that thought, do something first. Read the label on that thing. See if there's some hatred and contention and jealousy, because we subtly addict ourselves to that. It's flesh. It's addictive. And there's stuff that keeps that we can't ever seem to win because it's coming through a back door of the flesh. And it's like, man, I'm going to deal with this stuff. I'm going to deal with this stuff on a spiritual level. God has an answer for this. I don't have to be addicted to hatred. I don't have to get worked up and feel angry and mad and a false sense of control and all that kind of stuff. And you do that, and it's a passion, and you're done, and you're subsided, and you go along, and it's the next day, and all of it can be something that reminds you of something to stir up, and the enemy's using it to stir up hatred, to stir up contention. This stuff, it has nothing to do with the person or the situation or the contention or the accusation. No, yeah, things happen. We'll talk about how we deal with things. Things happen, we really get hurt, we got to deal with it, no doubt. But I'm just saying, when you're dealing with the same thing year after year after year, there's something else going on here. There's a work of the flesh that wants expression, it wants its fix. And when you begin to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, man, in the same way you wean off of the classic stuff and there's a cry on your hands, there's a cry on your hands when you wean off this stuff too. Hate wants to hate. No, I'm not going to hate. I'm not going to get in the weeds of that argument because I know that if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom doesn't descend from above. You're not getting a revelation from God. It's earthly, it's sensual, it's demonic. So what am I doing? I'm recognizing. I'm recognizing what the voice of the middle flesh sounds like. It comes across an accusation. And as much as in our heart we want to be free from that, we want this relationship peace, we want healing, we want restoration, God can and does and will do that. But in the meantime, we've got to make sure we're keeping our flesh under in those areas too. There's a lot of junk as I begin to take inventory. I think, wow, I don't have to go there. That's totally just the hate. That's just totally a contention, jealousy, envy, outbursts of wrath. It's not there. And if you find yourself further down the road, you didn't check the ingredients and you're in an angry or you're in envy or outburst of wrath, then all we do is we just do what Proverbs tells us to do. Ponder the path of your feet. Don't turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Oops, I stepped in something there. That was not right. I'm removing my foot from that. I am pondering the path. I'm pondering the trajectory of that thought. And if the trajectory of that thought is this stuff right here, it's middle flesh. I'm not going there. It's not that I'm not thinking about that because I shouldn't think about that. I'm not thinking about it because it's flesh. I have no moral obligation to think about it at all. And so I can be free from it. And so we're seeing through some things and we're getting free because we're recognizing and understanding how flesh works. So when middle flesh stirs you up, it's those eternal fights. It's the eternal relationship stuff. Begin to see through that and recognize that there is freedom from that. So recognizing the voice is huge. All right, now we're going to go on and get to where I really want to get to here. How to beat it. Love is the death of the middle flesh. How do you get this thing? How do you beat this thing? How do you clean out that middle part where you got all these little relationship merry-go-rounds to get cleaned out and I'm just wholehearted loving Jesus and I'm not controlled? Love. Love is what kills. It's what destroys the middle flesh. There's God's, well, when I say love, I'm talking about, let's see here, first of all, we've got the two great commandments. Love the Lord my God with all my heart. Love my neighbor as myself. So when we're talking about love, we're talking about put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Again, don't just think the classic stuff. Think of any thought that's leading to hatred and bitterness and wrath and rage, because that's not God's way. Ephesians 4, 26 through 27, be angry, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Okay, so we're seeing this differently. I'm not just a spiritual person who doesn't do the classic stuff. I am keeping my heart clear. And I'm taking all that relationship junk and pain, and I'm recognizing where flesh is flesh, and I'm not giving it place. We know that whoever is born of God doesn't sin, but he who's been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one doesn't touch him. You know, when you get good at this, and you don't let that stuff have place in your heart, it is amazing how you will just find yourself getting free from things that you have been subtly given a pass to through the years. Here's another right along these lines. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. Those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. For when you live controlled by the flesh, you're about to die. But when you live the life of the Spirit, but if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, then we taste his abundant life. So again, we're just talking about spirit, flesh. It's important to realize that when it comes to this and beating this, you are not going to beat it by problem solving it. By problem solving every relationship issue that's going to make you free from the middle flesh stuff. God has given us the power of his Spirit to not feed it. That's the thing that way we love God. But there's something that he gives us too. The way God loves us. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So again, here it is. It's not that I'm sticking my head in the sand when I've got a relationship issue or when I'm hurt or when I'm in pain or different things like that. You know, when you feel that pain, it really hurts. In fact, you know, we see there in verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. When you get hurt emotionally, when you get hurt with conflict, you're going to say, ouch. The same way you hit your thumb with a hammer, you're going to say, ouch. There's nothing wrong with saying, ouch, and being mad that you got hurt. But don't let it lead to sin. Deal with it on another level. And this is where, when we come before the throne of grace and we're able to say through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Father, this is what happened. Father, this I'm afraid of this. Whatever, that Philippians 4:6 is where we can let what's in our heart out. All right? And I'm not talking about classic stuff. I'm focusing on the middle flesh stuff. I can let that middle flesh stuff out. I can express it in verse 6. And in verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is my medicine. This is my medicine from God. This is why I can deal with middle flesh stuff. Because there is a peace that passes my understanding, that I'm not problem solving, it's just keeping my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. In the meantime, I'm going to eat some whole food thoughts right here. Whatever is true, noble, just, pure, lovely. You can see where your heart and mind is going. That stuff doesn't feed middle flesh. Middle flesh cannot thrive on that. There's no accusation in it. There's no hatred in it. There's love, and there's trust, and there's looking to God. We looked at that demonic wisdom where the Apostle Paul, Galatians 5, he said, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Then he had the flesh list, but in the bottom he says, after he lists the flesh, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So here's the thing. We're talking about how to beat the flesh. You beat the flesh by walking in the Spirit, by loving God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And when that happens, something takes the place of that middle flesh. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. You know, anger, hatred, contentions, and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, long-suffering, they're like opposites. So you see what the flesh produces as far as that stuff, and you see what the Spirit produces. And so when you deny the flesh, that old argument, that old thing that you've been on, that merry-go-round you've been on, look through that and say, I don't have this big, ugly, complicated problem I'm working through. Flesh is trying to get at me here. And I'm not going there because there's flesh. Now, if I've got something that I need to talk to God about, I'll Philippians 4, 6 and talk to God about it. In the meantime, I've cast the care of it on him. I'm going to let his peace that passes my understanding keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to treat thoughts, the old hurts, the old pains, the things that are coming back. It's when you see through it, you see this is flesh. These are flesh thoughts. They're flesh attacking me. And I'm not going to give them access to me anymore. I've got it in God's hand. I'm trusting him with it. And it's not flowery words. I really am. And he's got it. And I'm overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. It doesn't just sound good. He's got it. And when that thing keeps coming back, flesh, flesh, hatred, bitterness, wrath, flesh. I'm calling flesh, flesh. I'm not going there. When you do go there, it will develop a strong victim complex in you. Well, I'm just talking. Let's just talk shop here by all of us who've walked in middle flesh. And you will feel so angry and feel so sorry for yourself and we'll work out. And he's saying, that's not from above. I know you feel semi-demon possessed, but it's garden variety flesh. When you realize it's garden variety flesh, you get the upper hand. Hey, I'm not thinking that thought, not just because I'm not supposed to, because that's a bad thought. It's like smoking something bad. It's like shooting up. You see the danger and the content that's in that thought. You got to almost see it in that classic sense to realize it and shake yourself up and awake out of sleep and say, no, that's just hatred. It's just jealousy. It's just an outburst of wrath. It's just envy. Man, I'll tell you what, you get victory here, and you call a spade, you call flesh, flesh. And I'm not feeling sorry for myself about that. That's just some dumb little argument because it's about time for me to feel stirred up today. I'm just saying you got patterns. Just as much as you want to fix whatever it is, as far as substance stuff, there is middle flesh stuff. And you don't realize, oh, here's my problem. No. There's junk, there's flesh. Satan's subtle, he's deceptive. And he's not getting that part of my heart anymore. I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to let the peace of God, and I am going to verse 8 it. I'm going to think on things that are true and honest and just. What does that mean? I'm worshiping God. It means I'm getting in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. No flesh can glory in his presence. Have you noticed that? There's a great way to do it. You'll drown that stuff just in the presence of God. There's no oxygen for flesh in the presence of God. And what are you doing? I'm not trying to problem solve it. The Bible doesn't say problem solve the flesh. It says put it to death. Starve it. You don't get the intellectual satisfaction of figuring it out. You do get the satisfaction of recognizing it as flesh and not feeding it. That's what you get there. But he's going to do the amazing work. And not only does he do that work, but you begin to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. So not only does that junk get out of me, but something new comes into me. And I got a soundness of mind, and I got a peace, and I've just got a bubbly desire to want to do things and help. And it's just like, whoa, yeah, the full color of the new creation begins to come out. And that's not just a concept. That middle stuff has been muting and covering and graying out the full expression of who you are. But when you begin to call flesh, flesh, nope, I'm not feeding that anymore. I'm not taking that puff. I'm not taking that hit. I'm not taking that shot because that's what it is. No, I'm going to let the Spirit of God bear the fruit of the Spirit. And the cool thing about that stuff, again, you get no intellectual satisfaction here either. I can't make an orange. All I can do is get in the presence of God. All I can do is get in the Word of God. All I can do is plant a physical seed and create an environment for God to do his majesty work that he put in that seed. All I can do is create the environment. He does the magic. He does the creative miracle. It's the same with the fruit of the Spirit. I'm dealing with all these relationship accusation issues, and I'm trying to problem solve this one and get this one, so I'll be happy. No, you're on a perpetual merry-go-round. You're going into the presence of God. You're going to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. You're casting down imaginations. You're reading content labels, and I'm going before the presence of God. And what's happening in me is I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Something's changing in me, and my intellect has nothing to do with it. I'm just looking unto Jesus, and he's working love and joy and peace and patience. And wow, I got peace that I didn't have before. Just spending some time in the presence of God, and I didn't solve any big, complicated, hairy relationship issue. We've been duped. In some ways, the same way we've been duped in a natural, physical way, we've been duped spiritually. We've been duped thinking that we got these problems that we really don't even have. Or maybe they're old problems that just keep coming back up. You know, you could be free, and I've seen this, where a person, maybe you had an issue. I mean, I saw this just growing up, where somebody might have had an issue with cigarettes, all right, or drinking, and then they just, nothing for 20 years, free, total, and then they started to play around and get curious, and then they're bound by that thing all over again. Well, were they never free? No, they were really free. They were really walking in freedom, you know, but they kind of went back to something. Now, let me tell you, this is kind of a subtle way that the flesh will work and play on your mind too. You may have experienced something. You may have an offense, and you've forgiven it, and you have forgiven it, and you're free, and it's not bothering you anymore. And you can go for a period of time, okay? Like that pack of cigarettes, and all of a sudden something reminds you, you get curious, and then you begin to eat it again. You begin to eat those thoughts, and it begins to produce the hatred and the bitterness and all that stuff. And then you come to this grand conclusion that, wow, I must have never forgiven. No, you forgave. You forgive by faith. Works of the flesh or works of the flesh. Just because you're stirred up over an old offense that you forgave doesn't mean that you never forgive it. You just got to put the cigarettes back down. You just got to put the syringe back down. That's all. You want to get free from that? You don't have to go, I forgive. No. You got to just remove your foot from evil. And take authority over that thing. Don't let that thing boss you around. Say, nah, you're just flesh. You're common garden variety flesh. I'm not going there. I'm going to get in the presence of God. I don't have to problem solve it. I don't have to go 15 levels deep. I'm going to get in the presence of my Lord. And his perfect love casts out that fear. It casts out that insecurity. There is no flesh that can glory in his presence. And as you begin to walk with him, praise God, he begins to simplify things. Have you ever noticed that? The Spirit simplifies, the flesh complicates. If you're finding yourself in this really big, heavy, complicated thing, little bell should go off. That's probably not God trying to see if you can keep up with his 15 levels of solution for your problem. No, he just doesn't work that way. Jesus rejoiced that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. You've revealed them unto babes. That you chose to confound the wise through the simplicity. And you're going to get through that complicated middle flesh through simplicity. You're going to starve it to death the same way you do the drugs and the alcohol and the sex and all that stuff. The middle flesh will also starve. It will also lose its pull. And you will also bear fruit of the Spirit. And when you get that, what love suffers long and is kind, think of this as whole foods. This is what God wants us to eat and saturate in our soul. Suffers long, kind, doesn't parade itself, doesn't behave rudely, doesn't seek its own, isn't pro. This is just what love, this is the way love is. When that fruit is born in you, it's not that I'm trying to not behave rudely, I'm trying to not. There's just the fruit of love. That seed is blooming and blossoming as you're just loving the Lord with all your heart and creating that environment for the fruit to grow. That's what grows in you. Colossians 3, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on, I'd read stuff like this, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Wow, that seems pretty extreme. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. You can just see the urgency in this. This is the stuff that puts out the middle flesh. This is the stuff when I'm proactive about this. You're going to nip all that middle flesh stuff, and you'll see it as flesh. Praise God. God, is there something I need to know? Show me. Show me. Give me the wisdom that I need to know as far as navigating something relationally. But in the meantime, I'm not going to be burned up with bitterness. I'm not going to be burned up with hatred. I'm not going to be burned up with outbursts of wrath. I know that that wisdom's not from above. I'm not supposed to have that stirred up in me. Even as I'm working through my issues, I can be free from that. I can be free and taught by the Spirit of God and led by the Spirit of God and led by His Word. What does the wisdom of God sound like when you finally get it? It's pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. This is what God's wisdom sounds like when you get it. If it doesn't sound like this, don't glory in it. If it doesn't sound like this, read the label on it. Because there's a good chance it's trying to get you to indulge with an end result of that stuff. And that's the stuff we can get free. Again, like I said this morning, I'm not trying to get in the weeds of all your stuff. This is an expose. The middle flesh, an expose. I'm just trying to expose something this morning. I'm just trying to get you to think. I'm trusting the second sermon to get you to think about your stuff and say, because you know, there's some stuff that you think, wow, I got to take this before the Lord. I got to pray about this because I haven't dealt with it spiritually. And there's other stuff you have dealt with spiritually. It's a rerun that's nothing more than flesh trying to get you stirred up. And you got to say, no, nope, that's dying. I see that right in the same category as the drugs and alcohol and the substance stuff. I don't go there because I know where it's going. I know where it's leading me. I'm pondering the path of my feet. I'm reading the content of that thought, and I'm looking at where it's taking me. There's a lot of problems you think you have that you don't have. Now, I'm not telling you which is which. Again, I'm just saying be aware. Read the content. Make sure that you're not in a bunch of complicated, weird stuff that just isn't anything you even have to pray about. It's just a suggestion like something you'd watch on TV. And yeah, it's familiar. Yeah, you got history. Yeah, it connects with your life. But it's done. It's past. It's gone. And the only reason it's coming back is not because you have a problem that you can't let it go. No, you just haven't seen the motivation behind it. It's just an old thing that Satan's trying to use to stir up hatred. And if you can't find something in the past, then he'll do some hypothetical things in the future. What if this happened? What if this happened? You know, so past or present, the bottom line is you get to where I'm not letting the hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, I'm not letting that stuff have a place in me. I'm not going to let it. I'm seeing through the thought to where the thought is leading, and I'm dealing with where the thought is leading. And if it's not leading to pure wisdom, I'm not having it. It's not. I'm casting it down, and I'm bringing it into the obedience of Christ. I'm bringing it into the obedience of His wisdom that is pure and peaceable and gentle and willing to yield and full of mercy and good fruit. If it's not that, then I don't want it. So, the middle flesh, an expose, what does it look like? It looks like conflict. The face of middle flesh is our people problems for the most part. Relationships, whatever, you know, that inner turmoil. What does it sound like? Accusation. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That's what he does, day and night, accuses. And if you're finding yourself continually tuned into an accusing voice, out of fear, whatever it is, recognize that voice. Recognize the sound and say, yeah, I'm not thinking about classic sins as far as the sex and the drugs and all that, but I'm talking about middle flesh stuff. The accusation hits that middle flesh. And you begin to say, no, I'm going to give no place to the devil. I'm going to give no place to accusations. I have no scriptural obligation, moral obligation to listen to satanic confusing thoughts. None. Speculations or things past. If it's something that's happened, I pray about it, thank God, forgiveness, and go on. But I'll tell you what, in the meantime, there's a peace that passes my understanding. It's keeping my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I'm recognizing the sound of that. And how to beat it? It's going to love. You're going to love it to death. You're going to love that middle flesh to death. You're going to love that thing to death with your love for God and giving no place to the enemy, giving no oxygen for that stuff at all. And you're going to receive God's love for you. You're going to receive His peace. You're going to receive His medicine. Praise God. Yes, I'm not doing the classic stuff, but I'm not afraid to deal with the middle stuff because I've got a peace that passes my understanding. And I've got a fruit of the Spirit that's being born, and I'm staying in there by faith. And I'm thinking on those things that are true and honest and just. And I'm just pressing into the presence of God in a very general, non-problem-solving way. And fruit of the Spirit is getting born in me. I just believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I'm just seeking Him, and He's rewarding me as the fruit is getting born in my life, as the Spirit is putting to death the deeds of the body. And as I'm getting clear-minded and clear-focused on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And I'm seeing Him, and He has full heart, full access to my heart, completely and totally. You know, we said last week, talking about Jacob wrestling with God, and he wrestled and he stayed with there, and he wouldn't let him go until he blessed him. And we said, if God ever invites you to a wrestling match, no, He wants you to win. He wants you to win. He wants you to find out something about yourself that you will never let go of His promise and His word. But now, when you invite God to a game of Monopoly, you want Him to win. You want to look at your heart and say, am I loving the Lord with all my heart? When that's my focus, what does that mean? That's not flowery words. That's serious. That means there's stuff I've lived on. I'm just talking about your pastor here this morning. Stuff I've lived on. And then I thought I'm pretty good. I mean, I got my I's dotted and T's crossed, and the Lord's saying, nah, there's some stuff there, pastor, that you've just... You just haven't seen it in its flesh. You just didn't recognize it for what it was. This is your complicated problem that I'm working through. Yeah. Take that complicated problem to the throne of grace. Ask for His wisdom. Ask for His guidance. Cast the care of it upon Him. Let Him care for you. Receive His peace that passes understanding. Set your mind on things above. Praise God. And then never give flesh another pass in that area again. Call flesh, flesh. And that's what it is. And all of a sudden, another property is turned over. Thank you, Lord. That relationship is now in your hands. You know, it can either be overrun by the flesh, the world, and the devil, or I can still have ownership, or now He has ownership. He now has ownership, and I'm trusting Him with that one. Praise God. I remember finding myself doing this, like I said, just dealing with it. I'm thinking, I began to strategize, thinking, man, okay, that relationship, that one's going to get over to God. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking like I'm playing a game of Monopoly. Thinking, wow, thank you, Lord. My competitive ego is finally getting put to some positive use here. Yes. Let's take that stubbornness and win a game of Monopoly. Let's take this thing, relationship by relationship, appetite by appetite, purpose by purpose, and saying, God, You have this, and You have this, and You have this, and there's no place that I'm afraid of my own heart. When you're free, you're done being afraid of you. There's nothing more intimidating than you not knowing what to do. You being controlled by this stuff, and you can't seem to stop it. That's a scary place. When you love Him with every part of your heart, that stuff goes. And you're not afraid. There's nothing you're afraid to bring. There's no piece on that Monopoly board that you can't turn over to His ownership. That you can't, Philippians 4:6, and acknowledge Him with it, with thanksgiving and the grace that you need for that thing, and get it turned over in His hands. This is a wholeheartedness that's bringing that middle flesh along. No pass. Yeah, you're going to have a journey with this. You're going to have a walk. But I'm telling you what, you're going to get to know Him. You're going to experience His power. And I'll tell you, stuff that you've let rule on you for years, and you get victory over that, and that thing's calling, and you see through it, and you don't answer it anymore. Wow. You got more space for the Spirit of God to speak to your heart. You can see more what He wants you to do. And you're more His. That's what Jesus said. You know, if you obeys my commandments, we'll come in, we'll manifest ourselves to Him. What are you doing by getting rid of the middle flesh? You're obeying the commandments. You're loving. You're going to forgive people, and you're going to let him be your medicine to keep those things in place. And you're going to call flesh, flesh. My answer is not in that, oh, that feeling. There's no, it's just an addiction. The presence of God is my oomph for everything. All my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. It's next was AM Middle Flesh. We all got it. We all got it to deal with. Like I said, spiritual people, a lot of times we can deal with battle with depression because we don't recognize middle flesh as middle flesh. We're recognizing it today. And we're not giving it a pass anymore. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of Jesus just for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that second sermon. Not just what I'm saying, but what you're saying about what I'm saying, Lord. You know those inner places of our heart. You know those areas that we really have been duped. We've been fooled. We've been on a hamster wheel with stuff that's nothing more than just repetitive little suggestions to keep us on the flesh treadmill. Hatred is going. Jealousy is going. Envy is going. Outbursts of wrath are going to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Because we can see through, we can recognize, we can call flesh, flesh. We're going to read those content labels. And we're going to say, I have no moral obligation to eat this. I'm not going to meditate on this. I'm not going to saturate my soul with this path. I'm going to ponder the path of my feet. I'm going to ponder the thoughts that have been stirring me up. And I'm not going to let them stir me up anymore. I'm going to look unto you, Lord Jesus. If I've got issues, if I've got problems that really need to be dealt with, if I've got relationship situations, I'm going to really go before you. I'm really going to go before that throne of grace. I'm going to ask you about it. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to ask you for wisdom. And I'm going to hold on and let that peace of God rule and medicate my heart in you. Medicated in the presence of God. Medicated by the Word of God. Medicated by your presence as my heart and mind is in you. And in that place of your medication, fruit of the Spirit is getting born in me. The oxygen for the junk is no longer there, and no flesh is glorying in your presence. In fact, it's being put to death. We see that, Lord. We see that place in you. We want that place to live from that place where you have all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. You have every property of every relationship, of every appetite, of every purpose. It's in your hands, Lord. Show us property by property, piece by piece, that we have these things in your hands so you can live through us and do what you want to do in us. We give you thanks for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. It's a big deal because, you know, as you begin to turn stuff over and you begin to get free and all of a sudden that stuff isn't bothering you and you know what happens? Here's the cool thing that happens. Let me just say this. This stuff is really distracting. And I found I go so far in God and I'm revving and I'm going places and one of these things invariably just distracts me, knocks me off my game. And when this stuff starts to go, your spiritual attention span gets bigger and stronger, and you can look into his lovely face and just stay there and be changed. Where you get nervous and have to run away, you're not nervous anymore. He's looking at you, and that doesn't bother you. You're not afraid of him seeing anything. You're ready for him. His eyes are naked and open to everything, and that comforts me. That doesn't scare me because I'm dealing with this stuff now. Look at me, Lord. Look through me. Have what you want. You got my whole heart now. I'm not trying to look spiritual, be spiritual. The optics of not doing that. When you get free from God, it's not that I don't do that anymore, and I don't do that anymore, and I don't do just, I'm free from that, and I'm free from that, and I'm free from that. It has nothing to do with religious do's and don'ts. He's setting you free. I can breathe the fresh, clean air and be the new creation and all the splendor he's made me to be without that junk crawling me out. But just see through it. Praise God.